show you don't want to miss.
The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big.
Think big.
It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show as we get set to talk some spring football and zero in on the Big 12 Conference. Hey, we may be right here in the state of Texas, but we're going to talk about those mighty Oklahoma Sooners. Bobby Stoops and company, they are ready to line it up on the gridiron on Monday and get after it in their spring practice. And I cannot think of a better person to talk to and give us the inside scoop on his Sooners than James Hale. Of course, he is the lead reporter for OUESPN.com, and he's got his own afternoon talk show on 1400 KREF. I tell you, James, talking to you is like coming on home, because that's where it all started for me, was right there at that radio station at 1400.
Well, and E, we still remember you, and you've gone on to great things, and things are going great with you, and that was so much fun to work with you, and hey, it's really glad to be back on with you again.
Well, listen, James, let's get after it, because one of the things that folks down here in this particular area, they want to find out, kind of give us the pulse, or what is the vibe in Norman? I mean, the Sooners, they finished 8-5 last year. Are they ready to get out there and, in a sense, perhaps redeem themselves a bit?
Well, I think that is the vibe. Let's get last year behind us, and let's get going again. Let's get some accountability. Let's take some responsibility for this football team. Let's become a better team, a cleaner team. And what they mean by cleaner, let's cut out the mistakes. Let's get healthy. Let's put our best players out on the field. The winter has been stressful in that the guys have really been trying to get bigger, stronger, faster, healthier to get back out there. Oklahoma lost the games they lost last year for the most part, in my opinion, because they lost so many man hours. How do you lose a Heisman Trophy quarterback, an All-American tight end, four out of your five offensive linemen, your best wide receiver at a time, your entire tight end and fullback core, and expect to be any good on offense? And so that was the big struggle for Oklahoma last year. They lost too many players to really be effective. On the positive side of that, though, all those guys that played E last year in tough situations and in a tough environment, they come back for the spring ready to go. Guys are healthier. Guys that played some different roles are now kind of solid in those roles now. And so they go to the spring looking to refine what they're doing to, again, take some responsibility and accountability of what they're doing. And they think they'll be a better football team because of that. So the spring's important so they can take that next step, especially with still a young quarterback, still an offensive line that's kind of coming together. But they do have a Heisman Trophy candidate in Ryan Broyles coming back. They do have an outstanding linebacker in Travis Lewis to lead the way on the defensive side. And they have an outstanding safety in Quentin Carter that they're really talking about. So they have some positives going into the spring.
You are listening to the voice of James Hale. He is the lead reporter for OUESPN.com, also his afternoon talk show, 1400 KREF. And you've hit a number of things that we're going to talk about here in just a moment, but I want to step back into the 2009 season, James. How bizarre was it? I mean, you have covered the Sooners for so many years, but how bizarre was it to have such an unfortunate injury in that BYU game with Sam Bradford? I mean, it obviously just really, it seemed like the season that they were always on their heels after that.
Well, they got off to a terrible start, and it just got worse from there. You know, they during the Stoops era, there's never been a year with this many injuries. And Coach Stoops has said there's never been a year that he's been in coaching, period, where there's been that many injuries. And I've covered OU now for 30 years, and I've never seen a year like this for Oklahoma where they've had so many injuries that affected so many different games. Sure, there's been an injury or two that might have affected one game or a couple, but not an entire season. And when Sam went down, Sam Bradford went down that one play, the next to the last play before the first half. The season basically changed right there. I mean, Landry Jones played well enough for Oklahoma to win in the second half, but the receiving core had not gelled at that time. They'd already lost Jermaine Gresham warming up before a practice, not during a practice, but warming up for a practice the week before the first game. So their two best offensive players all of a sudden were out of the formation, out of the offense, weren't playing. Brody Eldridge breaks a pinky in that game. He's their best blocking tight end, so he's affected. Matt Clapp breaks a bone in his hand, so he's affected. All of a sudden, some of the big guys, the guys they're counting on offensively, aren't healthy or they're not playing, and it just changed the total complexion of the season. I mean, Oklahoma played good defense in just about every game, But the defense had its moments where it just didn't hold up. I mean, they should have beat BYU anyway, but they give up a 15-play drive as BYU marches down the end of the field in the fourth quarter, and Oklahoma, with 2.5 minutes to go, tries to come back offensively and just can't. So it was a tough year in that regard, and they just kept losing players every game. And the offensive line, they'd lose a guard. Okay, Brody Eldridge would go in there. Here's Brody Eldridge, a 265-pound tight end. Now he's moving to guard. He actually started at center against BYU, and he's played three positions. He's probably the only guy, I think he is the only guy in college football last year that started at three different positions. But by the seventh game, they lost him totally too. So they're moving guys in. At the end of the year, Eric Mitzik is a tight end that ends up playing and starting at offensive tackle. Here's how bad it was. They go into the Stanford game. And in the Stanford game, they had one reserve offensive lineman, Tavarius Jeffries.
Wow.
And they did not get him back to practice until the Thursday before the game because he had family issues back in Mississippi. So he got one day of workouts in, learned the game plan or whatever he could learn in one day. And he was the only backup offensive lineman. He had never played center, so he was an offensive guard. So Stephen Good was going to become the swing guy because he could play tackle, guard, and center. That was their depth of the issues at the end of the year that they had in the offensive line. It had become critical, and that's just a tough way to play football all year, but that's exactly what Oklahoma had to deal with.
Well, the Sooners certainly were in a precarious situation, but what I kind of hear you saying between the lines is, you know, it's amazing what a job that Bob Stoops is able to do, how he's able to get these guys to maximize their effort, you know, to finish the season on a high, you know, not only with the bowl win, but also that sweet shutout against Oklahoma State, 45-0.
Right, they finished on a great note. They really did. Again, defensively, Oklahoma only played bad in one game, and that was against Texas Tech. And I don't know what happened out there. I think in college football today, there's such a fine line between how much talent's on one team and another. If another team really gets on you and they can get a couple of breaks early, you can play fast break football. And that's what happened in that game. And OU just got whipped against Tech in every conceivable way. But Oklahoma bounces back, and they have a great game against Oklahoma State at home. Great defensive effort against them. Oklahoma protected the football in that game. And Landry Jones was just getting better as every game went along. And the 20 practices that Oklahoma had from that last game until they took on Stanford was the biggest benefit for Landry and his receivers. He had a chance to work every day with the three receivers who ended up starting that game. And they went with DeJuan Miller, Jazz Reynolds, a true freshman, and, of course, Ryan Broyles with Brandon Caleb in reserve. And Landry had a chance, time on task, to throw to those guys every single day, and you saw how much he improved with his great performance against Stanford. So the final two games, I think, has rebounded this team a little bit. They went into the winter from all accounts, from everybody I've talked to. They've had a great winter conditioning. Now they go into the spring. I think they're pretty optimistic about it. The guys are fired up about it. They want to play. They realized last year wasn't up to standards like Oklahoma is used to. And they want to get back to that Big 12 championship role, get back to playing in a BCS bowl and a national championship game.
One of the guys you've talked a lot about, James, of course, is the offensive playmaker going into 2010, and that is Landry Jones. James, tell us a little bit about, as far as his offseason, what has been his focus in terms of perhaps strength and conditioning and what he wants to be able to accomplish this next year?
Well, he's a typical Oklahoma quarterback, in that he takes ownership of the team. His quarterback coach, of course, is Josh Heupel, who led the Sooners to a national championship. And Josh has been the standard bearer of how all quarterbacks have trained following him. That includes Heisman Trophy winning Jason White, Heisman Trophy winning Sam Bradford, Nate Hibble, who, of course, was the Rose Bowl MVP, Red Bomar, who started as a freshman before he ran into trouble off the field. All those quarterbacks that have come after Josh have basically trained like Josh sits then. And that means total dedication to football and to your academics. The heck with your personal life. You work that out on your own, and you get it whenever you can get involved with that. But you're going to show up for meetings. You're going to make your tutorial sessions. You're going to be a leader for this football team. And Landry has certainly done that. I think he's the most misunderstood player on the team in that I hear people today, they'll call my show and say, Landry just didn't have a good year. He had one of the best freshman years for a quarterback in college football history.
I agree.
It just wasn't Sam Bradford. I mean, Bradford set the standard bearer. You know, for a quarterback to have the kind of year that Bradford has had as a freshman, that's amazing what Bradford did. Well, Landry did it despite the fact he had 69 drops on offense, not 29, 39, 49, but 69 drops. He had only one offensive lineman play the entire year in the offensive line. He lost his entire big boy tight end fullback package, and even his starting running back missed two games, and his starting star wide receiver missed two games. And yet he almost threw for 3,000 yards. He threw 24 touchdowns and had 10 interceptions. That is a heck of a year. But everybody always puts that onus on the quarterback, and when a team loses at OU, it's always the quarterback's fault, no matter how well he plays. And if they don't have a great season, it's always the quarterback's fault, even though anybody with any football knowledge or sense will tell you Landry had a heck of a year last year.
Tell me this. Let's go a little bit beyond the X's and O's. I've heard so many great things about Landry Jones. In fact, I've had his high school coach on before, too. You know, is he like a Sam Bradford, a Colt McCoy, a Tim Tebow in terms of just the character that this kid has?
Well, he's a Christian soul. His life is led by God. He's a God-fearing man. He's not afraid to wear that on his sleeve. In fact, he's gone to President Bourne and asked if he can have a room for a prayer group for anybody that wants to come in and pray every day.
Wow.
Which I think has been worked out, and I think that's exactly what he does every day. He's dating Whitney Hand, who's a God-fearing woman. She wears her Christian faith on her sleeve, too. They're kind of the glamour couple, I guess, around campus, even though they don't want to be, but I think they kind of are. More gets written about their romance, and Landry laughs about that because it's just a very sweet college romance, you know, and he's just trying to low-key it and play some football, you know. I think he's very much similar to Sam. Sam's a good guy. Sam's a man of Christian faith, too, and I think they're very similar. They both like to play golf. They both like to do some things off the field. You know, they like to go to the beach. They like to swim. He's just a typical college student, except that Landry is not afraid to voice his opinion. He's not afraid to take a stance. That's why he's not afraid to tell everybody what his religious beliefs are. And I think he's a guy that the team certainly has rallied around. I'll tell you a story. In the first game against BYU, I'm sorry. He comes into the game, of course, and it's a shock. He has to come into the game, and they go into the halftime locker room, and boy, the team is just reeling. And all of a sudden, Landry stands up and basically cuts Coach Stoops off and says, "Guys, I've got this. Look, we're going to win this game. Hang in here with me. I know what I'm doing. I can throw this football. We're going to win this game." And Trent Williams said it was so dramatic that the fact they didn't win the game, he feels terrible about, because they should have won it for Landry Jones. And that tells you a lot about Landry and his leadership skills right there.
James Hale is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We also got to take time to recognize our premier corporate partner and sponsor. That is the good friends and folks at Western Company of Texas. Hey, I love that story, James. We love Whitney Hand. Of course, she went to Liberty Christian School right here in Argyle, Texas. We know her very well in Fort Worth, Texas. Okay, talk to us about recruiting with Oklahoma. The Sooners, they lose a number of key players in terms of defensively. Who did they sign? How many out of the state of Texas? I think it was around 30, wasn't it? 29, 30?
Well, they signed 30 overall, and I think they have 17 coming in from Texas, or maybe it's more. Five already on campus, and they'll make a big difference. Tony Jefferson from California, and that's kind of the key thing about this class. They got three players out of California, all blue chips, and it's amazing how they got them. I asked Bobby Jack Wright after they signed them, I said, "How'd you get those guys out of Texas?" And he paused and he says, "I don't know how he got those guys. It's pretty amazing." Because you don't usually get three of the top players in California out of California, but they did. Tony's already here, and Kenny Stills is already here. I think both will have an impact. Tony at safety, Kenny at receiver. I think they'll buy for playing time, and don't be surprised if they don't earn it. They have a couple of offensive linemen that are in camp, Bronson Irwin and Austin Woods. Woods from Texas, I think Rockwall, Texas. Woods is a center, Irwin's a guard. They'll get into the mix, and OU desperately needs some depth in the offensive line. And then Sheldon, the wide receiver, is an ACL tear. He is also on campus, and he'll be cleared about midway through. And he was the class 3A hurdle champion, I think. So all those guys have skill, and they're really bringing in some outstanding players. The top two players out of Kansas signed with Oklahoma, Justin McKay, a receiver, and Geno Gresham, a defensive end. So Turner Gill did not get off to a good start just getting his own talent in Kansas. Oklahoma beats him on the top two players. Oklahoma also signed some outstanding talent you know, across the board at all positions. They bring in three linebackers that they really like. They're bringing in five offensive linemen. Adam Shedd is a guy at offensive guard. They think they can help them right away at one of the inside offensive line positions. So, and then, of course, Blake Bell is the celebrated quarterback, and OU just keeps signing a big-time quarterback every year. Blake is regarded as either the number one, two, or three quarterback in the country, depending on which recruiting service you like. He won't play next year. By his own admission, he needs to redshirt. He's very raw. He's only played quarterback for 2 years. But, man, he's talented. And OU already has a commitment from Kendall Thompson, Charles Thompson's son, out of sophomore high school in Moore, Oklahoma. And he's already regarded by ESPN as one of the top three quarterbacks in the country. He's a left-hander, has a little more mobility. Now, Blake has more mobility, too, than Landry and Sam did. So Oklahoma's trying to find quarterbacks with a little more mobility, even though I don't think you'll ever see them running the zone read and things like that. So the recruiting class will help. Oklahoma doesn't plan on redshirting anybody until they get into the training camp. I know they need some upgrades and some more depth in the offensive line. It's certainly going to help there. Linebacking core could help there, and the secondary could help there, and, of course, at the receiver core as well.
Well, that is definitely a name from the past. Charles Thompson, I mean, now I'm really dating myself. I cannot believe he's got a son that, wow, that's...
I saw Charles and his beautiful wife. They've been married, I think, 30 years now. And I see her, and she still looks like she does in college, you know. And I'm saying, hey, how you doing, you know? And I go, what are you out here for? And she goes, that's my son. And, of course, he's 6'2", you know, 180 pounds, ripped, you know. And I'm just looking at him going, man, you know, we are getting old. But it's fun to try to find – I'm still covering these guys. And now it's really cool because I'm running into a lot of their sons and guys I used to cover 25, 30 years ago.
Amazing. You know, I was at the Thunder game on Tuesday night and ran into Steve Collins, and I hadn't seen him for years. And I was.
I bet you still look skinny and still look like you could play, right?
Sort of. I was giving him a hard time. He's like, do you remember me? And I said, oh, yeah, you were the backup for Cale Gundy, right? And he goes, did you have to remind me of that?
that's a touchy subject in OU football history. Both are really a good quarterback, but, boy, that was a controversial time with the Sooners, no doubt.
It was. Tell us, who is going to be the backup for if Landry Jones is the anointed one?
Well, Drew Allen will be the backup. That's another Texas native quarterback. His father played football at the University of Texas. Now Drew's at OU as a Sooner. And Drew's really talented. Kevin Wilson's bragged on him a bunch. He picked up the offense in a hurry. He traveled with the varsity last year. He didn't work down on the scout team. This spring's going to be important to him because he actually gets reps. He and Landry are going to share all the reps. It's big for him just to get back into the swing and back into the groove of things. He's really talented. He'll push Landry. Landry's the starting quarterback, but Drew is talented, and they think they can win football games with Drew, and that's the biggest compliment they can say about him. They think if they had to put him in the game, they could win the game.
James, you previewed some of the new players that are going to be coming in, but also the Sooners announced the hiring of Willie Martinez. Tell us a little bit about him as far as he's going to be replacing Chris Wilson.
Well, for those of us that have covered college football, know Willie Martinez. Willie was the defensive coordinator at Georgia. If you've covered recruiting, you know about his prowess in recruiting. For Georgia, he recruited down in South Florida. That's where he played his high school ball. He played his college ball at the University of Miami on those great Howard Snellenberger teams early in Miami's rise to football prominence. He's very well-regarded. And, you know, what happened at Georgia is like what happens with a lot of programs now. You lose in a year or you lose in 2 years, nobody has any patience, and all of a sudden there's pressure for a coach to get rid of this guy or that guy. And so Coach Wright changed his defensive staff. He and Willie are best friends. But that's what Coach Wright had to do. That turned out to be a big break for OU. He almost, he'd already committed to go to Stanford. But Oklahoma had run into Willie two or three different times because they had exchanged defensive ideas with Georgia on two or three different occasions. So they got to know Willie really well. And so at the football coaches clinic, when everybody was there, Willie and Bob ran into each other. And then one thing led to another, and another thing led to another, and all of a sudden he's at OU. And OU feels very fortunate that they were able to get him. He's always been an outstanding defensive backfield coach. As a coordinator, he's had some good years and some years not so good, but a lot of times that comes down to a lot of different things, too. Last year, Kevin Wilson didn't look like the greatest offensive coordinator, did he? Yet he probably did his best job. So it just depends on how you look at it. And he'll bring a lot to OU. They believe in the, they believe in similar things, he and what Oklahoma does defensively. But he'll also bring some new ideas in there. Brent Venables has become a master at coming up with some key adjustments against some of the spread offenses that they're facing nowadays. And I think they really feel fortunate they were able to get Willie on their staff.
James Hale bringing us some good stuff this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Okay, let's go around the Big 12 Conference. I definitely wanted to get your take in terms of Texas Tech, the Mike Leach exit. What was your thoughts on when this whole thing started to unfold? And also now with Tommy Tuberville on board, certainly going to bring some SEC flavor into the Big 12.
Well, I feel sorry for Mike. I think Mike got railroaded. I think it was a bad situation. But you know, I don't think Mike did a conventional thing, and I don't think he did the right thing, but I don't think he should have been fired over it. I don't think he had ill intent. If you really dive into that story, the two parties there were always at odds. They were always arguing with one another, and it's just unfortunate it's gone that way. I feel for Mike, and it's such a big story nationally, and it's so unusual. I don't know how Mike gets a head coaching job again in the near future, if he can. But they certainly have a big change at Tech with Tommy Tuberville. I know Tommy really well. He's a nice gentleman, good family man, a good football coach. But, boy, he's a lot different than Mike Leach. He's old school. He's a power offense. He likes to run the football. He tried to spread it out in his final year or two at Auburn, and it just didn't work. He ended up even firing his offensive coordinator they brought in to do that in mid-season. So there will be a dramatic change in what they do offensively. But he wanted the job. He campaigned for the job. He feels like he can win there, and we'll see. That'll be something certainly that they'll look at and certainly try to get into and do. It's interesting across the Big 12, you've got so many different quarterbacks now. Texas has a new quarterback. Missouri has one for the second year. You've got quarterbacks that are just brand new across. At least Baylor gets their great quarterback back in Griffin, who I think is prolific. Texas A&M has their great quarterback back for their senior year. Those guys, you would have to think, have some kind of edge just because they have experienced quarterbacks back. And it certainly helps Baylor getting Griffin back because he's such a prolific player.
James, one of the guys that was a former quarterback that you obviously covered closely at the University of Nebraska is Turner Gill, and he certainly has landed on his feet right there at KU. What do you think his future is?
Making me feel old because I covered him as a recruit coming out of Texas. So, you know, that's a long time ago, but boy, was he a great quarterback at Nebraska. And I've really been impressed with Turner and his move up the coaching ranks at the University of Nebraska. In college football, I should say. He's going to do great there. Now, again, you know, that's another case. Mark Mangino was a good friend of mine, loses his job controversially. I don't think he should have lost his job over what he lost his job over, but he does. And that's the era that we're in college football nowadays. And I think Turner's going to do fine. I've wondered when he was going to get this chance. He deserves this chance. He's put together a great staff. Chuck Long is a good friend of mine, did a great job at OU as the offensive coordinator. He's the offensive coordinator there. Torbush is the defensive coordinator there on that staff. They've got some good coaches there. So Darrell Wyatt's one of the best wide receiver coaches and one of the best recruiters in college football. So he's put together a great staff, and they didn't do well this past year in recruiting, holding their talent and things, but they got in there late. I bet you they do better in the future, and I think he'll do a fine job. But doing as well as Coach Mangino will take a chore. Coach Mangino did a great job at the University of Kansas, and that will be Turner Gill's job to try to get him back to that point where they're going to BCS bowls.
Hey, Jason Peter is on our program every week with our Under the Helmet segment. Of course, we remember him well at the University of Nebraska, 3-time national champ. And, you know, JP was telling me about a couple weeks ago that with Turner Gill landing on board, that he's kind of changing things up a bit. He's taking the names off the back of the players' jerseys. Had you heard about that?
No, but, you know, a lot of coaches do that early to show solidarity. And, hey, it's not a me program. It's a we program. And that's not surprising. Didn't you love Turner's opening press conference when every time he was asked a question that how are you going to do this in the program or what are you going to do in the program, he just kept saying, we're going to recruit, because that's the name of the game, man. You got to get players.
James, I know I've kept you long. You've just done such an outstanding job. Thanks so much for coming on and flexing your James Hale muscles, and we will catch up with you. I look forward to being on your program.
All righty, thanks.
We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just one moment.